Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, what are you drinking in your backyard today? Or what are you drinking right this minute? Or what do you say if somebody asks, what would you like to drink? Well, the options, of course, are almost unending. And for some of you, I'm guessing still at this time of the morning, you may have your cup of coffee in front of you. For others, they start the morning with some kind of soda, or is it pop? Which one do you say? And then there are more and more people who will answer the question and have in front of them always some kind of container of water. Not probably, the very healthiest drink that we can have. But our choices, of course, are unending. And wondering, you know, if you pack for picnic, what's the beverage of choice or many choices that you take with you? Well, just thinking about that question, of course, I had to do a little research about that. And one of the beverages that I remember from years past and don't hear people talk about much anymore is Tang. You remember Tang? Well, it actually was first marketed. It's a powdered form of drink. Usually I think of orange, but it was also available in grape. First marketed in that powdered form in 1959, but it really didn't make much of a dent in the market until Tang was used by NASA, and it was on John Glenn's Mercury flight. So that was a few years after it actually was introduced. In 1962 is when the Mercury astronaut John Glenn conducted eating experiments in orbit, and Tang was selected for the menu, and it was also used on several other flights. It was originally sold just both in powdered and ready-to-drink form, but of course that basically went to a powdered form, and then it went to a sugar-free form. And it just keeps changing. Now, if you go to look for it, you may or may not be able to find it on the shelf, but you may also be able to find some other brand that is basically Tang. A couple of other uses, and when it soon after it came out, really became popular, it was used in a mix with tea and other spices. And so you could, you know, mix it up with a little hot water and you had this spiced tea drink. And then there is the version that people say not to drink, but if you need to clean out your dishwasher, well, you put some Tang or the similar kind of powdered mixture in your dishwasher instead of the detergent and run it through a cycle. That's basically because it has some acid in it, so it does have some cleaning properties. And it's also a food item. So there's probably lots of other uses out there that I don't know about. But Tang is one of those things that may still be something that you put on your shelf, or it may be something that's long forgotten about. Well, another one of those beverages that you may or may not have on your shelf, and possibly depends if you have kids or not, and that's Kool-Aid. You know, when I was growing up, I think everybody had Kool-Aid on their shelf, that powdered mix. And it was used, you know, straight, just add water and initially a lot of sugar and some ice. And then it became the base for lots of punch mixes that were served at weddings and one of the or other celebrations. And one of the nice things was it came in various flavors, which meant it came in various colors. And you could, of course, color coordinate it with the rest of the colors that were being used. Originally, Kool-Aid came in cherry, grape, lemon, lime, orange, raspberry, and strawberry. Now, I guess that depends on when you say it was original, because there is some doubt, some disagreement about who invented Kool-Aid and where. When you search for it on the computer, you will find that it supposedly was done by a person called Edwin Perkins. And it was originally called a Fruit Smack, and he was from Hastings, Nebraska. Now, if there's any listeners that are from the Lewis area, they're going, no, that was first invented in Lewis, Iowa. But nevertheless, Kool-Aid became a worldwide popular kind of drink. I guess, first of all, it was inexpensive when it first came on the market, and it was powdered, it was easy to ship, it was easy to carry around, it was easy to make, you know, lots of ease of using it. And during the Great Depression, the package cost 5 cents. Well, of course, that price went up, the flavors changed, sugar was added, non-sugar sweetenings were added, and again, Kool-Aid just keeps changing and changing, but it's still, I think, a pretty popular thing that you'll find on most grocery store markets. And as you might guess, the flavors have increased dramatically, and they do vary around the world. Depending on the country you are in, you may be able to find different flavors than you can find on our shelves in the United States. One from Canada is called Rockadile Red. And another one that you may be able to find in the U.S., but also in Canada, Slammin' Strawberry Kiwi. Or, if you are in the Philippines, you can find Lemonade Sparkle. And if you're in Venezuela, you can find Colita. I'm not sure how many are looking for Kool-Aid in Venezuela that are listening today. And again, there are just various kinds around the world, along with those kind of typical, been on the market since the original Kool-Aid. So, again, lots of changes in that to fit our changing world in terms of the sugar-free, and all those sorts of things. Well, here's another one. If you go into especially a golfing area, a golf club, and you ask for an Arnold Palmer, what you will get is a combination of 3/4 iced tea to 1/4 lemonade. And that's because Arnold Palmer asked for that combination at some time early in his life and became very, very popular. It might also be called half and half, and in other places it may be called something else. And I think my sister says it's called swamp water. Doesn't sound so appetizing when it's called that. But again, that has been marketed in just like other kinds of beverages, in metal cans and plastic containers and so on. It was in 1990 in Orlando, Florida, was where this all started, and it was then bought up by the Arizona Beverage Company. 10 years later, after that'd be about 2000, the sales track record is $100 million in sales, representing 10% of Arizona's business and 40% of the company's overall growth. So it's a very popular drink with many people. Again, that's been changed a little bit. You know, you can have green tea, you can have added pomegranate, peach, pink lemonade, some of the fortified with vitamin C. The changes go on and on. And the latest change, I guess, in 2009 was that they licensed a powdered tea stick, which can be poured into a bottle of water while on the go. And of course, there are many other companies now marketing those kinds of drinks where you just add them to water and you have flavored kinds of things. Well, on the list, in addition to those kinds of things that I've talked about, of course, water could be up there at the top. And what are our choices for water? Water out of our tap, water in bottles of all sizes and shapes, flavored waters. This, again, the list goes on and on to try to make it marketable and bring in more money rather than just water out of the tap. And, of course, we haven't even mentioned the alcoholic beverages that might be added to our list of what you might drink today. I'm guessing a lot of people, when they prepare for a picnic or just have it in the fridge all the time, there's beer. Again, in many sizes, shapes, and light and not light, and ale, and again, the list goes on and on. Or how about champagne or mixed drinks? You know, a whole list of alcoholic beverages that we could add to the list. And then we haven't hardly even mentioned coffee. Again, lots of changes in the coffee industry, and coffee, of course, is a very old beverage. The first instant coffee was available in 1901. And how about milk? One of my favorite beverages. And it's not just plain milk. We can get various degrees of fat. We can get flavored milk. And then we can get those products that are like milk, made with soy or rice or a number of other kinds of combinations. And 1275, the year 1275, that's when powdered milk was, I'm not going to say discovered, but was found by Marco Polo in Kublai Khan's court, 1275. Nothing really new around us. 1856 is when condensed milk was first available. And, of course, the best kind is the kind that comes out of the cow that's available. Well, I like it pasteurized and cold. The stories about beverages go on. And when you look at your TV, if you watch TV, you will always find some kind of beverage that is being advertised. Until next time, here's a good thought for today. Love the people who treat you right. Forget about the ones who don't.